Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Tonight we're going to talk about a little bit different aspect of what happens while we're on this road to success. Many times we feel that, and we are looking at foreign concepts, foreign not in the respect that they come from some other country, but foreign in that we have not followed them. We have not been indoctrinated into them. We have not been taught these principles throughout our lives. Much of what we have done is prepared ourselves to work for someone else. Yes, you can be very successful working for someone else. But the basic bulk of wealth created in this country and in any other country is that creative entrepreneurial spirit that we have. And we're going to talk about maintaining it fresh, crisp, and workable. Fresh, crisp, and workable. Many times, and even in myself, as I talk about it, I talk about building up routines, knowing what we're doing and why we are doing it. You know, we started off with, we wrote things of what we wanted to do. Hopefully, we'll put down what we were willing to pay for those things in terms of what it took us to get there. In most cases, it's not an overnight sensation. And even in those cases where they say a person is overnight sensation, doesn't mean that that person hasn't worked their fingers to the bone prior to coming to the attention of other people. It requires work. If I had an easy button, I'd give you each one. But it doesn't happen that way, and I think it's for a purpose. When we look at a butterfly, we can see them, particularly at this time of the year, as they flit around the yard. We don't realize that some of these butterflies travel thousands of miles as they go into Mexico for the winter. And they breed, they do whatever there, and then they come back. This is a long journey. And we see that they had obstacles to do that. One of them is birth, or the metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. They are in a chrysalis, and they have to fight their way out of it. Now, we could help them. We could cut that open and allow the butterfly to come out. But it is detrimental to the butterfly because it has not developed the strength in its wings to maintain the lifestyle that it was designed for. Yes, we are going to have struggles. It's how we manage the struggle. It's how we manage the task. It's how we look at adversity. It's how we look at success. It's a number of things that have to be obtained. Some of them only come from experience. And this is why it's necessary. I say that we have habits and we're trying to develop them. Most of the habits that we have are not geared towards success. They are geared towards getting us through. They are geared towards getting us to fit in, fit into a mold that someone else has designed, that someone else benefits from. This is what's taking place. Now, that's not all bad, and I'm not disparaging anybody that prefers to remain in that particular condition because there are many benefits that come with things like that. You have a steady income. You have benefits. You have time off and what have you. And these are good, and it has allowed the country to run in great shape for centuries. But I find and feel and make contact with people routinely that want something better. They want something different. They want to be the employee, the employer, excuse me, rather than the employee. And there are benefits to that. As an example, do you want to be the person to ask if you want fries with that? Or do you want to be the person that owns the business and employs people, allows people to progress to higher ranked jobs based on their ability? There are those that would rather do that, and there are some that would rather not. Because there is some displeasure sometimes in some of the tasks, I consider it to be worth it. I consider it to be worth it because I can work with people, and I believe that I have the ability to magnify that good part of them, and whether they stay with me or they go somewhere else, I have contributed to success in them, in me, others. I've seen people that struggle to get by. And we sometimes don't look at the long-range plan. We don't look at what they're doing. I'm working on a post now that's going to come out in August, and it's about a David Harold Blackwell, a great, great mathematician. But what he did is while he was in elementary school, he showed the intelligence, the ability to stick with it, the ability to focus. Now, these are different things. Intelligence is one, but the ability to focus, the ability to stick with it is going to win most every time because you work at it. You get something out of it based on what you put into it. He had all three of those going for him. In elementary school, he was advanced a grade twice. When he graduated from high school, which he did at the age of 16, he was able to go to college. Now, although he had a four-year scholarship, he understood that it was still a financial burden on someone, and that included his family. There were three siblings besides himself. There were a total of four. His mother was a stay-at-home mom. His dad worked on the railroad. But they were able to persist, and partially because he took jobs as a dishwasher, a waiter, and other jobs that came along. When he finished his bachelor's degree in 3 years, he had decided early that he wanted to be an elementary school teacher. But then he set his sights on higher education and knew that it would take an advanced degree. He then applied, was accepted into a master's program. When he got his master's, he was able to go into a doctoral program and earn the doctoral degree at the age of 22. Quite remarkable. But he always knew the sacrifice that people were making to help him and what he was sacrificing himself to get in position where he could do something. So what does this have to do with you? You are in essentially the same place. But I'm not interested in mathematics. I don't care what you're interested in. We need to get to the point where we can see the principles at work. The principles at work. And many people want to shun this, shun that. We regularly see people coming on the judge show. Well, I'm going to be the greatest star that's ever come down the pipe. Meanwhile, you can't even afford to put a meal on your table. You can't afford a roof over your head. But we are in a day now where all of those things are possible. You can work for someone, have benefits, in the event that you get sick, in the event that you're injured. This is one of the reasons that people go to work for someone else. Now, many people have decided, I'm not going to do it because I see heartache. Heartache, yeah, people have endured it. People have suffered it. But what you have to realize is that as time passes on, we become wiser. We become smarter. Tools develop. I have seen people run successful businesses, yet they have to fold because they overlooked important matters. They forgot to pay their taxes. They forgot to pay them quarterly. They forgot to keep receipts. These are part of the equation. And we sometimes find this out by experience, but we can also benefit from the experience of others. What I'm going to talk about today is utilizing it, and I also want to incorporate in that vacations and time off. A vacation doesn't have to be a week. It doesn't have to be 2 weeks. It may be a day. It may be an afternoon. But I have a suggestion for you. We have spent all this time trying to develop good, positive habits, having a list of to-do things and doing it. I've also talked about the struggle of making sure we break a task down into small enough units that we can actually make it practical. I've talked about the person that intends to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, and there was an article on the television locally here about a kid that is climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and he's doing it with an express purpose. His sister has an illness, and he's drawing attention to that illness. This is an example where a goal may or may not be attached to money. We attach a monetary goal to a project, and sometimes it backfires on us. I remember, and I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I had an office. I'm a professional person. But at the end of my office, where I could see it when I wanted to, was a particular motorcycle. I was really into it. I enjoyed that. And I like to take long trips on the road. So I had my little BMW motorcycle on the wall. And it eventually became a reality. I had something that I could see. I had something that I could feel myself touching it. I could feel myself throwing my leg across the bike. I could feel myself leaning into turns. I could see all of those things. I saw myself at times in inclement weather, but a smile on my face, because that's what I wanted. I ended up with almost exact motorcycle. The reason it wasn't exact, I saw a color that I absolutely fell in love with. And that's what I was working towards. We work towards goals. In this case, he wants to call attention to his sister and the disease that she is suffering from that's not well known. What if you had a kid and you could help them by calling attention, raising money for what they are doing? That may be what drives you. The fact that you don't have a dollar sign in front of it does not ensure that you won't make it. It does not. In fact, I think having goals of that type are more rewarding than others, because you're not focusing on the dollars and cents, although you have to to some extent, but it's not your primary focus. This is where we get folks, but what I want to tell you is this time of the year, we see many people taking vacations. No, this is not a point at which I'm going to tell you not to take a vacation, because I'm going to tell you that you can. But I want to consider some factors in it. And one of those is planning that vacation. Where are you going? And what are you going to do when you get there? Say you're going to Disneyland, Disney World, or one of the large amusement parks. There's nothing wrong with that. But what you do is you carve that out of your schedule. Let's say that you're going to be gone a week. You carve that out of your schedule on vacation for a week. But I find sometimes that a little bit of research allows me to benefit not only from the relaxed atmosphere, but from other things that may be close by. Do a search. Find out if there are any organizations or people that you might be able to run into as you're gone, because this is part of accomplishing your goal. It doesn't have to be nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel, punishing, grueling task at all times. It's not necessary. But what you do, you don't want to go on that vacation, come back and say, oh, my goodness, had I known this, I could have done that. And a lot of that has taken place in terms of research. I had a friend just recently told me about a trip to Henry Ford's Greenfield Village. It is something that I would love to see. It is because of seeing the ingenuity of people. It has absolutely nothing to do with race. I do a lot of things with race. But I like to see the ingenuity that is displayed in many of these instances, because it's something that I can relate to. Maybe you are, again, interested in baking pies. Is there a large place that does this, or parts of it? Maybe there's a food science museum or something that you can go to. Maybe there's a meeting of a different organization. That does not have to be what guides you in your selection. I'm just saying that there are times when it can be beneficial. I'm not saying don't take vacations. I love taking vacations. Some of my best vacations have come because I have planned them in many different aspects. When I developed my interest in Black history, I was taking a vacation in early September, and it was wonderful. The weather was still good, and the crowds were diminished because all of the kids had gone back to school. So I basically had free run of the museum, and I could ask questions because there was nobody else there. And most of the people that are in these positions love what they are doing. They love sharing the information. When a person asks them a question, it gives them the opportunity to really get into what they are talking about. Went to Kitty Hawk's, and crowd was down, and I don't know that they talk about this, but my wife was able to operate the controls of the Wright Brothers plane. We find these types of things. If I were a restaurateur, there may be areas that I would go to, and part of what I'm going to do is be looking at restaurants, being looking at ideas, if that is my goal. Even if it's not my goal, why not make it the most entertaining, most knowledge-filled vacation ever? And this is what we do. My daughter has a way when we get ready to go somewhere that she looks up some of these restaurants. She follows the Food Network. She sees which ones are recommended, what sightseeing things, and she can come up with a fantastic itinerary of what we can do on the way there, on the way back, and even there. Because she's done just a tad bit of research. Doesn't take a lot, but you can benefit many times from it. I've talked to you about knowing what's going on in the area. I enjoy making beer and wine, and I have been involved in clubs where they talk about various aspects of it. The area that I lived in for a long time was a great wine-producing area. I was able to bump shoulders with some of the best winemakers, the best brewmasters around. So when I had questions, whether it was with equipment, whether it was with ingredients or whatever, I had access to it. I worked with a chemist that later started a brewing company. And yeah, I can talk to him about ingredients. Everybody may not be so fortunate, but I think a lot of people would have more access to it than not if they tried it, if they just looked at it, if they went to mine. I talked to a guy today. I met him at the library, and we tried to speak at the public library here in Spartanburg. We're looking for a date and a topic. At this point, I did a presentation on black women in the military. I'm not sure what my next subject or time will be, but I will let you know. It may or may not be of interest to you, because there was a time when I had absolutely no interest in any of that. None. Nothing. One, I didn't even know it existed. But many times you may have an idea. You may be working on an idea. Maybe it's an invention. Maybe it's a process that you can benefit from. And when you find these things out, I was talking to an individual the other day who is going to Florida, down towards Orlando and whatever. And I said, have you ever been to the Holy Land? The Holy Land? There is a giant area there. This was a Christian brother. And no, he didn't know about it. Now he's going down there. And it may come up later that he missed this. Sometimes we have to ask people, have you been there? What did you do? What would you recommend? And this is what happens. The cross-fertilization of ideas is a key ingredient of success. I didn't know about it when I went down there, or else I would have made arrangements prior to going down there. I can help other people by letting them know about it. But I find that as I look back on where I have been, sometimes I've been in areas that I would love to be back in. I spoke the other day on Bessie Coleman, who was the first black female, the first female of any race or nationality to hold an international pilot's license, an international pilot's license. I can remember driving through Texas and seeing a sign for Waxahachie, Texas. I had no idea that that's where Bessie Coleman came from, because I had not prepared. I was not looking for things along the way. And so I missed it. I blew it. If I get back in the area, I will know about this. I've been to Alabama. I didn't know about the lynching museum. Sounds a little bit morbid, but it is a part of history that we have not been availed of. We don't know about it, but there were thousands of people that were lynched, not given a trial, not given a fair trial by any means. They weren't given any trial. They were just taken out. Sometimes people broke into jail and took them out. Now we get into a situation here where we all think that there are only two sides to a coin. You either were a slave owner or you were a slave. But there were so many people that did not fit into any category. Now, those of you that may be wanting to write a book, this may be a benefit to you. Those of you that want to start a lawn care service, you may be wondering, what does this have to do with me? We find that when we hang around successful people, that there are ideas in that camp as well as other camps that can be used. I've spoken many times of the fact that Henry Ford and several of his other friends in different industries got together once a year for a guy's camping retreat in the woods. Now, they all benefited from this because positive attitude helps brew success. Sometimes it's just getting into an area where you can be positive. I spoke earlier about the Henry Ford farm at Greenfield. And that is important because many inventions came from there. Henry Ford didn't invent everything that went on every car. Most of us don't realize that a lot of discoveries came from association with other people. And one of the people that Ford associated with was George Washington Carver. And they were working on an automobile. You don't think of Carver and automobiles in the same sentence, even on the same page. But metal was in short supply. And Carver had come up with a plastic body for an automobile that could be made and was extremely durable. Renewable resources were used for it. They were also working on a car that ran on alcohol, a renewable fuel. Now, this is way back when, and we went with gasoline because it was cheap. We didn't look at the issue of sustainability, but we have opportunities in that field right today. I was reading an article about jet fuel being manufactured in Moses Lake, Washington. Yes, the state of Washington. And they are looking at renewable sources that are non-polluting. Microsoft and some other businesses are thrilled about it because they have goals of being net neutral by 2040. We're getting to a point where we are going to have to take a hard look at what we are doing to the planet. This morning, they were talking about a plant that's nearing a shutdown, and they are dumping sodium hydroxide into the river. Do most of you know what sodium hydroxide is? That's lye. It can eat the flesh off of your hands. It can do that. And just think what it's doing to the wildlife. We've already gotten to the point where we have poisoned our wildlife. We look at how to make a cow grow faster, and we give it hormones. Those hormones don't disappear once they are injected into the cow or whatever animal it is. Traces of them remain. We're estimating now that 50% of all of the water that we drink has forever chemicals in it. These are chemicals that don't break down easily. And the reason we have them in our food chain is because we have not looked into the future to see what damage we are doing. The world is going to have to change. You can be on the front end of this thing. We sometimes think that nobody has ever warned us about this. But look at Rachel Carson back in the 1950s warning us about this very thing. There was evidence of it then. Not as rapid as what we have now, But had we paid attention, we may not be poisoning ourselves to the extent that we are. We don't look at a product from inception to grave. We look at it from inception to the money part of it, and then it drops off. And we find that we are left with garbage. We don't even know what to do with our garbage. If you were in space, you could see masses of plastic floating in our oceans. Not necessarily those large pieces that are the problem, but they break into smaller and smaller pieces. They get gobbled up into the food chain. If the fish don't eat them, then the things that the fish will. We have to become aware. We have to make a plan. I get somewhat infuriated when I go to a fast food restaurant and I'm given a plastic fork and spoon and straw. Why? Because they are one-use items and we throw them in the trash. We don't know how to recycle them. And as a result, they get into our food chain. We don't know how to properly dispose of them. We sometimes take old electrical equipment and send it overseas as if it disappears, as if it falls off the face of the earth. It does not. To those people that see problems, which I hope we have plenty of them here, not only see problems, but look for solutions. Look for solutions. I was fearless enough to look at 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, and it brings up a concept that I wonder if it isn't a preview of what is coming. And it's speaking about the fire next time. We've got forest fires in the West. We've got heat all over the country. We're getting to a point where we're going to have more and more dangerous storms, major storms. We look at the water around Florida, and it is as warm as some hot tubs. And what is the purpose of a hurricane? The purpose of a hurricane is to cool the earth. That's one of the ways that the earth cools itself. A lot of energy is consumed in these events. As we melt more and more of the polar ice cap, the sea level is rising, which means that areas that are completely out of the water now may be underwater. We have places in Florida that flood on a bright, sunny day because of the rising of the oceans. Sometimes we don't see it. But I think God gives us the ability to see problems. He gives us the ability to solve problems. And I think that's what separates us. I think that's where we have dominion over the fish, over the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea. But are we good stewards of those? Are we? Now, we often think that it has to be a monumental task. We see now that they're coming up with a way to push off the end of Alzheimer's, push it off, not get rid of it, but it's progress. It is progress. I am here to encourage young people and other people to do what they can, because I think that cure is going to from someone else. I see a child shall lead them. I'm old. I'm not that child. Have I given up? No, absolutely not. And I will not until I take my last breath, because I think God has been good to me. I think God will work through me to do what I can do best. And that's what I'm imploring on you to do. do your best at all times. And as we do this, we will pass on good things, not only for ourselves, not only for our children, but for the entire world. When Jonas Salk invented the polio vaccine, it isn't something that just stayed here. It helped around the world. We can do things that may or may not be easy to us. When we look at COVID, and I have a nephew right now that is does not have any brain activity. They're just trying to keep him alive until his son makes it, his son serving in the military. Sad, sad sight. But he has COVID in addition to other health challenges. Dr. Kazmikia Corbett, black lady, worked with Moderna and developed a very effective vaccine. Who knows, that young child that we tell, that we encourage, may be the one that holds the key to our, maybe the one that holds the key to our future, our children's future, our grandchildren's future, somewhere down the line. And that's what we have to be very, very cautious of. It's not going to happen on the basis of race. It's not going to happen on the basis of gender. It's not going to happen on the basis of sexuality. God knows what he is doing. He is wise. And I have more time to spend on love than I have on hate. There are some things that I do not like. There's some things that I cannot change. You know, I used to think that while Katrina was going on, seeing a guy stealing a television, so it's a good thing I'm not God, because I would send a bolt of lightning that would set him on fire. That's not the wisest thing to do. But at the same time, we had things taking place right under our own noses. When a person would go in and steal a package of bologna to sustain themselves and their family, it was theft. When it was a white person, they were foraging. They were survivalists. They were doing what it took to maintain their lives. And we have to be very careful as we work to change this image, folks, to realize God is not a joker. God is not a prankster. When he gave you what he has given you, I look at you, I see you. I see color. It's how I react to it that is the difference. Because I worked in an area where there were very few of us, and I thought that everybody there was going to be the most nasty, hateful people that I ever knew. But I developed friends there that 50 years later, I'm still good friends with. Some of them I've texted today. We text back and forth. I've gotten ideas from them. I've given them ideas. We cannot maintain separate worlds here. But we need to prepare ourselves for what we can do. God gave us skills. God gave us smarts. And as you read AmazingBlackHistory.com, you'll see that is Nadja West. She was an orphan. And she was adopted by a family with 11 adopted children, 11 already, she being the 12th. What happened to her? She became the Surgeon General for the military, not for the United States, but for the military. A black woman, very accomplished. An opportunity came and she served, and she served well. And as you look at some of the things that she did, I encourage you to read these posts. because these posts are geared to the exact audience that I have here. Those people that sometimes wonder if you were given everything that everybody else was given. Let me answer that for you. Take you out of your misery. Yes. Every device that was invented was not invented by a person with a college degree or degrees. Some of the most important came from people that did not have degrees. In this country, we are fortunate enough to have billionaires with a B that don't have a high school education. I am not by any means saying drop out of high school because you can succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Yes, you can. But with that, we find a well-rounded person is probably the best person because you know things on so many different levels. You can understand what's written in that Bible. I'm not saying that other people can't, but sometimes you can go into it deep enough that you can teach other people. Can you think of a gift greater than that? To be able to spread the word? Can you? You can do what you can do. Everybody is not going to be a spreader of the gospel, but you be the best that you can be. This is what it's all about. Be the best that you can be. And we do this by sticking with it. Now, I started off talking about vacations, and there may be times when we take a week's vacation. Are you going to work during this time or not? There is no right or wrong answer on this. Sometimes just getting away is what we need. Sometimes having new surroundings is what we need. I remember going to a lake. There was several families. We went down to Lake, I can't remember, Wallowa. In Oregon, Northern Oregon. I know when you stick your feet in the water, they are so cold. I mean, but it was something nice and refreshing. Yeah, we caught trout and we cooked them and enjoyed the heck out of them from the camaraderie, from the other things. When I went back to work, yes, I was very refreshed. And we have to do this. We talk about rest on the seventh day, and we have that day. What we're doing is we are, in essence, doing the same thing. I had 5 weeks of vacation every year, but my goal was to run until I had 10 weeks because I could have 2 years' worth on the books. And I got a couple of days every month. Well, I have to take my time off or I'll lose it. My boss couldn't say anything. This turned out to be absolutely fantastic for me. Most of you are not going to accrue that much vacation at one time. And I'm not telling you that you have to. But what you must do is some form of planning, some form of seeing where you're going. When we look at disciples, they traveled, but they had to have a plan. Which way am I going? What am I going to do for food? What am I going to do for lodging? What am I going to do for this? We sometimes don't see that planning, but what we have seen is we have seen the mountaintop, but we have to go sometimes through the valley, through the woods, through other places to get there. Do you have the tenacity to do it? This is what separates the winners from the losers. It's not the ability to imagine all the time. It's the ability to believe. Believe in yourself. Believe that God will lead you in the direction that you need to go. Man, this is the key to success. It's not going to be easy. But it is worth it. Even if you don't reach it, people will see that you are struggling, that you're moving in that direction, and that will have a positive impact on someone, or it has the ability to have a positive impact on someone. I read a story. A young man would always see his father reading the newspaper, and it inspired him to do his schoolwork. It wasn't until after his father had passed away that he learned his father didn't know how to read. Yeah, he could turn the paper right side up, but he was putting on a demonstration of what success looks like. That man would have probably given his eye teeth to learn to read. Sometimes that's our calling. Sometimes we want to let other people know how to use resources. This is why teaching can be such a satisfactory occupation, because we can see people grow. I imagine that for ministers, the same thing takes place. You can see a person that was going in the wrong direction. You can make a positive influence on their lives. I know my father used to take as much pride out of his students succeeding after school, after they had gotten out of high school, and were working in the trade or working in something else. I talked to a student of his, Lee Haney, who was 8 times Mr. Universe. Arnold Schwarzenegger held it for 7. He held it for 8. And he talked about how my dad would ask him, what are you going to do when you get out of this class? And guess what? He did what he said he was going to do. I know that would make him proud. Sometimes it's that example that we can set, that example that we can show. Maybe we take time to spend time with a person who's in prison. And I'm embarking on such a task now. I have a group that wants to meet in the jails. We have people that want to learn, and I want to help teach them that they themselves have worth. They have abilities. We think sometimes that a person is in jail because they're dumb, because they don't know how to do anything. If you were around them, you would find some fantastic minds that are being wasted or allowed to flounder. It happens. It happens around us. Sometimes we have to develop our calling. And this is one of the things that I want to call to you. We need to travel. We need to experience different things, because sometimes you might be finding that which sets your passion on fire. We have that. We see it every day. One of the things that has always impressed me, or not necessarily impressed me, but I've seen time and time again, people going to jail or going to prison, accepting Christ, and I put that in quotes, because as soon as he doesn't get them out of jail the next week, they're back to where they were. That is not an exception. Or maybe they didn't have anybody to encourage them once they made that decision. That decision is a tough one to make, especially if all of your friends see it differently, see it as a waste, and you continue to spend time around them. I met a young lady on Monday who is working to make sure she never goes back to prison. I love those types of people. Do they have to do what I'm doing? No. Pursue what their calling is. I can't make that decision. I can look at a resume. I can look at and talk about experiences that a person has. But I can't do that and light the match that sets them on fire all at the same time in most cases. But I am impressed with the fact that she's not trying to hide anything, but she is trying to make things better for herself. She wants to be a motivational and inspirational speaker, and I admire that because she doesn't want people to travel the same road that she traveled. Sometimes I think that's what is critical, to make sure that people don't follow your role model, your path. Change it. Get on a different one and do what's necessary to fulfill your purpose. And again, your purpose may be completely different than mine. I see that it is nearing the end of the hour, and I want to make sure that our next program has time to sufficiently get on and set up, and takes just a few minutes, a couple of 3 minutes. But it can be very frustrating if you don't have those few minutes. I have passed on the message that I have. I find that I get so excited at the beginning that I do not give the number. Let me give you that number, because we come on every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And that number is 646-668-8217. You can use that for any of the programs on Crown Talking Drums. Now, I'll be on at 7 o'clock. My primary topic is going to be on Nadja West, who started life as an orphan in a family with 12 children. 12, that's a dozen children. But she learned principles, principles of success. She found what she was good at. She found where her passion was because of the guidance of her parents. And she was able to go to one of the highest positions available in this country, the Surgeon General of the military. Not of the United States, not that it's a step down or anything, but she was able to pursue her dreams at AmazingBlackHistory.com. Read that story, not because you want to go into the military, or maybe you do, but read that story to see the struggle. We sometimes get into life, we face a struggle, and we say, well, nobody else had to struggle. Wrong. Most of these people did. Those who struggled the hardest were the most successful. I think that God allows us to learn by showing us that he loves us, that he can get us through the most difficult, dangerous thorns and snares, and we can benefit from that. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. I want to hear from you. Contact us, write us, call us, and make sure that when given the opportunity, which you'll have every time on this program, to call in. Many of you are listening on internet links, and that's great. I appreciate each and every one of you. The only difference is that by calling in, that I can see you on my dashboard. I can hold up the microphone. I see that we have Deacon Armstrong, but I'm going to give him time to get his program on. You may want to listen to it. Great programs all on Crown Talking Drums. Review daily. See what you like. See what fits your needs. And with that, my name is John C. Abercrombie. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. And I want you to be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. And I will see you on Sunday and again here on Thursday at 7. Sunday at 4, here at 7. Be blessed. Thanks for listening.